So interesting halacha, which probably is not such a common issue, which we have now. Maybe, there's probably some variants of it which would apply nowadays, but the specific case which they have is something which would be sounds somewhat totally foreign to us. So when they used to make the tanner in order to help it insulate it to maintain its heat, they used to put a layer of tit on it also. And that fell in. So are you allowed to remove that? You're allowed to remove that on the Yom Tif. It's now sitting on the bottom of the tanner. It is blocking the tanner. There's this big chunk of whatever in the way. So what are you allowed to do? So it's muksa. So we're going to be introduced to the question of, is Tiltum Muksa and Mutter L'Sarech Eichel Nefesh? So that concept is very applicable, but the specific case over here is, you know, something which is not very common. See, Mefshel Lefes V'litzleis Boi. If it's possible to bake and to roast in the tanner, B'loi Grifa, without sweeping it out, this will not, the fact that it's there will not cause the bread or the roasted item to burn. Also, Lagarfer, so then it's also to sweep out this tit. There's no bona fide need which would allow us to move it. You are allowed to smooth it out. The ash inside of an oven, see if it piles up in a certain way, which makes it a problem. So the ash really gets it in a muksa. It's nailod, it's not usable, etc. So you're allowed to smooth it out. It's not considered moving muksa. Mishabur says, why? Because as long as the ash is still hot, it's still functional in its original function of heating something as part of the wood. So that's not muksa yet. It's not annulled yet.
So we're only talking about hot ash?
So it'll only be hot ash. So that's mutter lahashkir v'esh v'efer shaboy in the tanner. That's mutter to press it down or smooth it out. Shkadesh yecholuk. Well, you have a pas klal. This way, it won't touch the bread and cause the bread to burn. And that's mutter. Even if lohoya kedei lecharcha, it's not going to necessarily cause it to burn. So it's not a real tzar. That's but it's not muksa. So like, it's not osir. Al miyesh betich betiach shenofel lesecha kedei lecharcha pas oyatzli im hoya negei abahem. If the tit which falls in, it would cause the items to burn if they would touch. Even though theoretically without sweeping it out it would be possible to bake and to roast, if it touches it, it will burn, and you can't guarantee it won't touch. So therefore, it's mutter legarpoi, the chash of tiltul tzarech. It's going to be mutter. And moving muksa for the tzarech echol nefesh is mutter. Okay, now, v'dafka b'tanurim shalahem. This was an issue, limit this differentiating between will it cause it to burn, not cause it to burn, etc. Scorch burn, yeah.
What's the mitzvah, by the way, of
teat?
Why would teat cause it to burn?
Well, it was hot. It was this hot chunk of... It was like a clay type of thing, which would...
What is it, a piece of the oven or something on the outside?
It was an insulating layer that they put on top of on the oven. So that was... It was made of a thick type of a mud, a clayish type of a mud. It was heated, you know, so it would if it would touch, it would burn something.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was talking about it was just
just mud from the outside, so I don't understand why would it burn.
Right, no. So now, but that's this issue which we're discussing, will it cause it to burn, not cause it to burn, to touch, not touch. It's all talking about their ovens. When they would put the bread on the wall of the oven, so it's very possible that the tit in the middle really doesn't really affect
the baking process.
So the only issue is when it would fall in. So we're afraid it might touch and cause it to burn. Shalonu of the Shulchan Aruch, which were also made out of the same type of material, but they no longer baked on the walls. They baked by putting something in the middle of the oven and letting it cook there. Well, now there's this big piece of tit there in the middle, and you can't bake. You have nowhere to put it. The only way you can bake is by sweeping out that thing which is in the middle. So you're allowed to sweep out the tit, if it would fall in, you're allowed to sweep out the ash, you're allowed to sweep out the coals which are no longer usable. So even though they're muksa, you're allowed to move them out because that's all tilted muksa l'tzarech oichel nefesh, which is mutter. Vavol pi shumachaber. Even though by moving the gachelis, you have a gachelis which is, even if it's a hot, but if it's in the place where you need to put your pot, and you can't put the pot in without moving the gachelis, you're allowed to move the gachelis. Even though by moving the gachelis, you might cause it to, the fire, its heat to diminish. That's considered kibui. Since it's not possible, otherwise it's going to be mutter. And we'll see more about the issue of kibui l'tzarech ochel nefesh.
Do you want to put the pot on that place where the tit fell down into? Is that what you
want to
do?
Or the Mechaber is moving from this idea to the same, the more common issue, he says, which we would have constantly, was the ash which would develop on the floor of the oven. So you put the pot there.
Okay.
So you need to move the ash. So during the week, they would sweep out the ash.
So you need the space for the pot.
Right. So you need the space
for
the
pot. So why is that called Tzarech?
That's mutter. He's saying it's mutter.
So I'm saying it would be mutter even...
Anyway, he's saying...
Be mutter al tzarech
makoma.
Why do you need the whole thing of
avon nefesh for? No, because tzarech makoma is only hetter in a kli shemalat l'isser. There's hetter tzarech
makoma. Yeah.
Some which is muksagomer. There's no hetter tzarech makoma. Oh. This is a muksagomer now. Mm-hmm. But there's a special hetter on yontav oichol nefesh. Same way oichol nefesh is matter malachas. Oichol nefesh is matter muksa also.
Oh. So this would be true even cold ash.
Yeah. Correct. So he's saying, well, and now he's taking it a step further, where a different issue, so that there's going to be, that there's a kibui involved. Okay, so the Mechaber says, K'shem shemutu l'havar l'tzarech echol nefesh, kach mutu l'chabas l'tzarech echol nefesh. The same way you're allowed to make a fire for echol nefesh purposes, you're allowed to do kibui l'tzarech echol nefesh. And that's a case which the Gemara. This is he's drawing a parallel to this concept from a case which the Gemara talks about. That if you would roast, when you roast on over the coals, so the fat drips, and the fat when it drips or the meat touches the coals, etc. It puts out some of the coals get extinguished from that. But that's mutter, the Mora says, because kibur, the tzarech echol nefesh, is mutter. That's the only way you can roast it. The only way you can roast this thing is by putting it there. And that by doing so, you're going to cause some of the gecholim to go out. That's mutter. So the same way that's true, she says, this case over here would also be true.
What usually happens is the other way around. If there's fat dripping from the meat, it doesn't put out the coals. It ignites them even
right.
More.
Right, so it's probably not just. It seems to be the more
flames up really. It's,
right, so the more
if you look at a grill, you'll see.
But the more seems like they would actually put it directly on the coals, so it would block the oxygen. So it would cause kibui. That they used to do it.
But wait a minute! But there's still got to be something going there. I know you may diminish it, but. You're not cooking. If you put it out entirely, then where's the cooking?
So, lowering a flame is also a form of kibui. So if I,
machlokas, is it going to be a machlokas, Rishon, even whether you can adjust it down the way we permit?
Well, I mean, the problem is this is just a window into a sugya, which the halacha of Havor and Kibui is going to talk about, that gets its own simon later on.
Sure.
And over here he just throws out like it's mutter, there's no problem, etc.
I can see the bir halacha there's a machlokas, Rishon.
Right. But later on, the Mo actually brings it later on. It's lav dafka putting out totally, even diminishing the flame is also a problem. Mm. It also be machlokes. Now that it's true, which everybody agrees to. And halacha lemaisa, if you get a situation where it's impossible to cook this item without doing kibui, it's mutter.
Everybody agrees.
The definition of what's called cooking and what's called impossible, and you know is so my pot is on the fire and it's burning. It hasn't fully cooked, so I need to keep it on the fire. I can't take it off right now. I don't need to keep it warm, or I need to keep it to finish cooking. But the flame is too high, and it's cooking too fast, and it's burning. So I want to turn on the flame and tzarech lechol nefesh. Okay, it's one possibility. Second possibility is I can put a second grate there on top of it, raise the pot a little bit higher up above the flame, and now I can, it won't be so close to the fire, and it'll cook fine. So my machleif to do that. Or I could turn on another flame, you know, with a pilot, so there's no problem of lighting the fire, with a smaller flame. My mechuyev to light us, is it better to do a havora with a smaller flame than do kibbe on my larger flame? Right. So the Magen Rama says, you mechuyev to do havora, it's better to do havora with the small, it's better to make another flame. Moshe Pasa is not like that. And a very famous shuva from Moshe, which is, he says the Magen Rama agrees with him, and you look at the Magen Rama says not like that, it's very difficult. Mishabur Pasa is clearly in the Magen Rama. You know, Magen Rama, that it's
osur. What about saving fuel?
Saving fuel. The only case of saving fuel, which is relevant in halacha, is in a case where a person needs the fuel for later on in Yom Tov to cook.
That's
propane, something like that. Person has a limited amount, and he wants to do kibbutz in order to be able to have it for later on that Yom Tov to cook.
Why is kibbutz stricter than havar?
That's a whole sugya.
Okay.
So we're just wetting our feet on that sugya. They think now is not the main place where it's discussed. It's discussed later on.
Wetting our feet, it may be not the right analogy. Maybe getting our feet on the coals.
What does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Magen Avraham says is awesome.
That you're mechuyev to do havora rather than do kibbutz. And that's what Moshe's kash. Like, what's the difference? Why should they be different? Uh-huh. But we'll see as we go along. The most places can hold it. There's a difference.
Sorry about the passing. Yes.
So, is that called Echol Nefesh? Is that called Mashir Echol Nefesh? That's also part of the question. The case of I want to extinguish a flame, be it coals, be it propane, or be it whatever it is, be able to have what to light later on. Because it's going to run out otherwise. Okay, we got a lot of Mishra over here. Tes Zion. Mishra is the cotton. Tes Zion. Tanush and Ophel. She says, Mayer betanurim shebemei hachach mei hashas, kenem esayim lekamei, shoye kemei kudeiro. The tanur was really, was very similar to an earthenware pot, which they would attach to the ground, and they put a fire inside, and the things would bake inside of it. The pasay yitzurchin because they tanner, they would put the bread directly on the walls of the oven. First, they would heat it up. Mishabursu cut into zayin. They would put the coals in. They would heat up the walls. The walls would absorb the heat, and they'd take the dough and put the dough directly on the walls. So one side would bake from the heat of the wall. The other side would bake from the heat of the coals, and that's how you would make it. So in that situation, the fact that there's coals in the middle, and you call them the pasta, doesn't really affect the bread. Rak tiach, so the coals aren't a problem. Rak tiach tit, if you have this layer of this layer of tit which you put on as an insulator. Or levain, or if it had been a piece of, let's say, been a brick which fell out of the shenoifel, who magil upon him ad mokum sheisa tucha bekaisel becharet. So that's bigger and larger and taller, and that might end up touching the bread. Well, it's quite hot, and it's sitting in the coals and being heated, and that's going to burn your bread. So that's the case. That's the case that we're talking about over here. So if you're able to bake without, it's not really limiting your baking, so you can't move it. This item is muksa, so you have no hetter to move it. Only had to be oichol nefesh. Well, there's no oichol nefesh because you can bake with it. Even when it's there, you're still able to bake. So what's the hetter? But he does say, however, to move the fire or the ash, you're allowed to move it. Why is that? Mineisha calls man shucham ain alav shem muksa. As long as it's still hot, it's usable, so it's not muksa. Kaliyabu simin tav sedikhes. Sif tesvav. Bechar lefizet. Im kein gam lahitzi the gamri is a every minute taner shori. Umash no mashkima the naka. The shulchan aruch says you're allowed to like flatten it down. It's a muksa. You can move it, do whatever you want with it. You can take it out and put it somewhere else. Bechen mochem bismag. The smag actually says so that you can take it out. Ve'efshem mishum the yesh eish be'efer. The issue over here is that there's fire over here in the ash. So the problem that we're worried about over here is that you can't take it out. It's not a muksa problem because it's not muksa. The problem is a kibri problem. But to just pat it down, that's more easily done without extinguishing the fire. But to move the whole thing out is more complicated. So we don't let you do that. Okay.
What are you pushing it down with? A piece of metal, maybe? A shovel?
Probably like a shovel, something like that. You're smoothing
when
it down.
You put the shovel on coals that have fire in it, immediately you're reducing the oxygen level over there, and you are being mechaber. There's no way around it. How could you not be? As soon as you put a cover on. As soon as you slam it down, even if you're picking it right up, the time that you're touching that ash, you're putting out the fire. You may not be putting out the whole fire, but you're definitely being mechaber something there. How else would it be? Fire needs oxygen. You're taking the oxygen away.
My physicists are going to have to help me.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a scientist.
I would assume.
But my understanding is that a fire needs oxygen to burn. As soon as you put a metal piece on top of it, you're reducing the oxygen. How could you not be?
That's true, but I don't know the response time to the change in the item. I don't know how quick that is. Mm-hmm. Or it's if I just smooth the thing over it so that it's there for a very minimal amount of time, so that oxygen, which it needed to make the flame before, it had. And the second later, it's going to get oxygen again. So the fact that there's a break in a moment, I don't know whether that affects or not. I don't know.
Let's put it this way. For sure, you wouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos. Even else, you know, forget about the muksa, else concerned about, I would think.
Okay. Okay, now I'm so embarrassed. The Mishnah is the Raman, but Mucha the Sefer the Filo the Efer Levad also Lahitzi. Even in a case where it's just Efer, he's saying even though that wouldn't be an issue of Kibui, so what's the problem? After the Shitosa the Gam Zechosh of Ketika Nataner. He says there's no real need to do it, so it's not an extra tircha which you don't allow on Yom Tov. Or the Rambam introduces an idea which some Rishonim learn up the issue of the case of the tiach is that since it's hard to bake with this thing in the middle, So it's considered like a tikkun kli when you take it out. So the Rambam might be learning the problem with taking out the ash also is along the lines of the tikkun and the taner. It's an interesting type of concept because it's not attached to the taner. The taner really is usable. There's something else on top of it which makes it not usable, and I'm taking that away, making it usable. And we're calling that's a form of a tikkun. That's a chiddush. But that's how some Rishonim actually learn the Gemara. Okay, I'll be what's it coming out? The ash and the fire and the ash, even if it would touch, it wouldn't cause it to burn. So it's not a problem of echol nefesh. It's mutter because it's not muksa. Al pi lo hayu b'kedel ha'acharche yimuchol lachu gopas. I feel like grievous atit mutter because it's going to cause it to burn. So that's a heter without the fact that even if it's muksa, it's mutter. Okay, but if the tiach will cause the pasta of the tzlit to burn, even though it's possible that it won't touch. How you after chaf left as a tzlit, it won't burn if it doesn't touch it. But since it's possible it'll touch, so then you're allowed to move it. Why? Chafal the chashiv tiltul the tzarech. Kvishi ruler kamam esayf simin tav kuf tes behagod. Mutul taltem muksa the tzarech echol nefesh. So, which is it's a Tosis in Beya. The Tosis says that moving muksa for echol nefesh purposes is a mutter.
What is the chiluk again between the tit and the
afer? The afer is not, as long as it's hot, it's not muksa, because it was originally wood. It was originally something which was made to be used for fire. Now it's still used for fire. It still has a kayach of fire in it. So it's not a gnarled issue.
The tit is a
gnarled. The tit is not a gnarled issue because it's a non-functional piece. So now it's etzim avonim.
All it can do is really, it's hot, but it's hard to understand the metzias of this, obviously. But
although you don't cook on it, you couldn't cook on it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, a chalif that a shochet uses, wouldn't that technically be a muktz matmas lasar and kid? Because he wouldn't want anyone messing with it. Because
it's usually given as an example.
But on Yom Tov, it's mutter shecht.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, there you have a case where something normally muksa, but yet you're allowed to touch it on Yom Tov for echol nefesh, right? Isn't that an example of that?
The Shulchan Aruch Rav is a fascinating insight. What's the lomus behind a muksa machmas chasar and kiss? This is Mechlokes Achronim. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav is, I think, is a very glatt the way to understand it. Let's say I have a crystal diamond kiddush cup which is worth $50,000. It's not muksa because its function is for kiddush.
Right.
And kiddush is a valid Shabbos function.
Right.
So the lomdus behind the a muksa machasar and kiss, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, always starts with the following. It's a klishim atalisar, he says. So its primary function, I cannot do on Shabbos.
Right.
The secondary functions I refuse to do because of the chasar and kiss.
Right.
So then it becomes a non-usable item, it becomes a total muksa.
Right.
As opposed to a klisha malatal iser, which is not chasar and kiss, it's the primary function I can't do, but I don't mind using it for a secondary function.
Something else. Okay.
So therefore I give it for something else. So, but if I have someone a klisha malatal heter, it's impossible to give it a status of a chasar and kiss, because its primary function is something which I will do on Shabbos, so it's not muksa. So now I talk about a chalif on Yom Tov. If its primary function is shechita, and shechita is something which is mutter on Yom Tov,
so it's not muksa at all.
It's not muksa on Yom Tov. Now, the kash on that is mila, and the ismol. So, an ismol that the mail uses for mila,
right,
is considered a chasar kiss.
Right.
He won't use it for anything else. So, but on the other hand, mila is mutter on Shabbos. Right? So how do you down it? The Maisa, the Mishabura said before in the Hilchos, when he talks about meal on Shabbos, he brings over there, I think it's the Mogan of Rum, that after the meal, the meal shouldn't move the Ismail, because the Ismail is muksa. So Shabbos, why is it muksa?
Right.
Right. So it's interesting then. Or is it, do we look at the pshat as mila is doicha Shabbos? The pshat is betzim. This is how do we look at it? Mila shalabazman was also on Shabbos. So the mila betzim is not so much as betzim what they're on Shabbos. Is it a mila bazman or is doicha Shabbos?
Right.
So therefore, the ismol betzim is muksa because. But there's a heter to use it when it's tzarech, you right. know. Or the pshat is well for this Shabbos I was planning to use it, so it shouldn't yeah. be muksa. So that seems to be a din in the Achron, but Mr. Burr seems to agree that's called muksa. So the Moel really should leave it when he's finished. He should put it in a safe place, and then you know leave it
as
there.
Long as he's holding it, he can move it anywhere.
Right. Let's say that you had a meal in the house. I mean, yeah. my loss was his bris was on Shabbos. It was in the house because where we lived. To the yeshiva, there was no Erev. There was a highway in between. There was an interstate in between. So you couldn't go from where the little housing was to the yeshiva.
Yeah.
There was no Erev. His bris was on Shabbos. So the bris was in the house.
Right.
In the apartment.
Who's his son?
Elazar. So basically, we designated a spot for his bag, his medical bag, you know, his little black bag, right? And after he finished, he put it in there, and then that was not moved the rest of the Shabbos.
Right.
That was, you know.
But then if another Tinoch shows up.
Right, so then it'd be Mutter. Right. You know, the punk that you had another kid, which you didn't realize, needs a meal on Shabbos, you know.
In that apartment.
In that apartment building. Right. Yeah, well, it theoretically went again in a city which had an era, but theoretically went again. I mean, we didn't realize, but, you know, in our situation, that was less common.
Now you're getting into a Hilchos Erev because, of, you know, according to some, that would be only a Durabanan, depending on the kind of street you had.
Right, but it doesn't. Well, okay. it seems like Chazal were mimed the Vrayim and they're not matter the tiltel.
By a Jew,
really. Right. The cost of poiskim, the chosen kishanovel tia chayyim, when chavalev. Or a filo esmol below yodem izet. The case is either it fell in on yomtiv or it fell in before yomtiv, but the person did not was unaware of it until yomtiv. A shlohoyel shows lasakna, or it happened before yomtiv. He knew about it before yomtiv, but plus he didn't have time to take care of it. So all those cases we're going to now allow. This is called tiltel muksa l'sarach hachol nefesh. Aval b'hoi yochel l'sakin me'esmol b'loi tikein even machmash shicha, even because he forgot, but it was theoretically possible to do before yomtiv, so that's like, it's like a machshir yochel nefesh, which is after l'sarach me'esmol. So you have no right to do it on yomtiv, you should have done it beforehand. Also ligrif, k'kol machshirin she'efshal l'sarach me'ebed yom she'osal l'asas b'yomtiv. You should have done it beforehand. If you didn't, that's, you know, so that's it. Vayin beer lochel.
What's the group then?
It's a sweep out. It's actually, it's, I'm not sure what the English equivalent of that word would be. It would be more like to, Magrefa was it like it's almost like grab the things and pull it out like a rake, more like a rake, raking it out than sweeping it out. But. Okay. And he says the Mechaber says that's their tanurim, but our tanurim, which we put it's even more kuladik because even ash is an issue and coals are an issue because we put the food in the pots in the middle of the floor and that it's in the way now. They didn't put it on the walls, so the middle of the floor wasn't used. So that's why it's only a problem with these big pieces of tits as opposed to ash. But our tin room, even ash and coals could be a problem. So we're even more makel. Zavka tin room. The language over here is not exactly 100% clear, but Rosh, the Rosh, Mimeno Nevea, the Bar Me'elu, Isakein, this is how the Rosh says. The Hittir HaKom, the Garf El Tiach, Shal Tanar, Shurak, Tiltu Muxen. The Avs HaKom, they were Mata, moving the Tiach of the Tanar, which that's a Muxen issue. The Garf HaKom, to move out the ash, or the coals better, the ball that they kibui, ayer is that which that's going to cause kibui, lo yitir, they did not permit that. That's all talking about their ovens, which they put the bread on the walls. The coals which are on the floor of the oven will not cause the bread to burn. Even if it'll cause it to, at worst it'll cause it to scorch a little bit. It won't be like a nice fancy bread. So we're not going to, because of that concern that the bread won't look perfect, won't look exactly perfect the way you want to look. We're not going to be matter raking out the coals, which would cause kibui to allow you to, that your bread looks a little bit nicer. That we're not going to be mad. But the Rosh continues and says, "But our from
what we discussed the other day, it's that you're allowed, if you like specifically very fresh bread, you could go through a whole baking process to get fresh bread instead of a day old bread, or even a half a day old bread if you want to."
Right.
And here you're saying if the pasta's not nice, so what? I mean, I don't like it like that. I don't want it half burnt. I don't want to serve it to my company that way. Why is that different? Why are we saying that this is that here we're not, we don't care how picky you are?
My guess would be that the preference for fresh bread is a standard preference. Fresh, warm
not
bread.
Not that burnt bread is not a standard preference?
It says, well, burnt bread is mozzer, we're saying, but it doesn't count yofa. It's, you know, that's, it's, remember, this is learning this with men, not with women.
Bakery can't sell that stuff. I mean, so obviously people care. I mean, they sell it, they have to sell that stuff at half price. At least 2/3.
That's probably true. We bake actually directly on the floor of the oven. But the coals are directly inhibiting the ability to bake, and not just, you know, it has to come out nice, but it's actually the coals are in the way. So that's mutter. Okay. So he said, in that situation, since it's not possible to bake without grefa, you're allowed to move it out, even though it's going to cause kibui. Kimishi efshir. So what's the efshir? What's called the efshir? Hainu shetisar, it's going to cause it to burn. V'matanar gola v'kacholim munachim v'mokim echer b'tanar, shara tanar poni. It's a large oven. In one spot there's coals, other places are empty. Shechalef is a possible leak area. Over there you could bake the bread in those spots without touching the coals which are in a different place. Elawat, the also the girl, you would like to remove the coals anyway. Kadeshal Yiya smuchim the pass, because you want to keep it far away from the bread. Vishema yihe nechrach miksos, and you're afraid that if it's too close it might become a little bit partially scorched. So again, so that's not that it's going to burn, it's just going to get a little bit scorched. So that's us. V'chein, im gar v'tanar me'akacholim ha'gadolim, the large pieces of wood which are very hot and have a lot of heat have been removed. V'nishru g'cholim k'tanim, there's only small coals, but it says in some sparks, but officially, you serve a pass. The bread will not. They don't have enough heat to burn the bread. Rock after she hey nechrach tzas b'mokam she. But if it would touch directly, it'll scorch it a little bit. Also, the gerfim b'pam shnia mishum kippis. That's not. You're not going to allow you. We took out the larger ones and left the smaller ones. You can't now sweep out the smaller ones. Because of this concern of karicha, because that's not a bona fide heter for kibbutz. But it's going to burn, that's a heter. In chavdal, much of the government may have for the chol, you're allowed to sweep out the ash and the coals. Rafilu b'mechabedes tavula b'mayim im tzarach lezek t'mon mesefei. And even if what you're going to use is going to be a broom, even the broom is, you dipped in, you don't want the broom to catch on fire, so you dip it in water. So when you dip it in water, it's mamish going to do kibui. Still mutter. It's mutter, because kibui l'tzarach l'chol nefesh is mutter. It's the case when a person puts meat on the ash to burn. Excuse me. Try that again. To roast. Sorry about that. Even though when it first touches, it causes the kachol that it touches to go out. Mutter, but that's a tzarich kachol nefesh, and that's mutter. Okay. When you caramelize a starch, it becomes sugary and it tastes good. So they would take mustard seed, they'd put it on the gecholim, and it would caramelize it a little bit. It would taste better. It would taste sweeter. So they used to do that. So it says that whether that's also to do with the gechelah shel eitz, gechelah shel mateches, which means you take a piece of metal and you burn it, make it burning hot. See, it's not burning with oxygen that putting the cardinal in is going to cause it to go out. So that's mutter to do. With using gechelah shel eitz, which there's a kibui involved in using it to sweeten the chardal, we're going to say later on that it's osur. So why isn't that like the case of putting the meat on the coals? So the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Chardal Roy Lechol Beli Kibur Gechelis. Right? El Mufalokim Mechabim Gechelis Besochim.
What does that mean, Gechelis Besochim?
They're going to take a hot piece of wood and throw it in there, and while it's getting smothered by the chardal and going out, meanwhile the heat is flavoring the chardal.
The heat from the coals?
The heat from the coal. But meanwhile you're putting out the coal. So that's but the chardal is edible beforehand, so you can't call it a real tzarich kachol nefesh. Furthermore, you could use a metal piece of metal, which there's no real kibui involved. There's no real kibui involved in a metal for two reasons. Because remember kibui we have in the Mishnah in Pemer Bet Malikin, that the only kibui which is the raisa is when you're oisa pecha.
When you what?
When you make it like a charcoal. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's malachas and sechel gufa. Because the kibui is not used for itself. It's just the kibui is malachas and sechel gufa. The only case is it's sechel gufa is I must be mechaba if I want to take my wick and make it that it will light better the second time. The way I do that is by lighting it and putting it out. So that's called sechel gufa. That's the case of the Mishnah, right?
Is that Rabbi Yossi or?
We pass like Rabbi Yossi.
But that, isn't that relevant to what we were talking about before? I guess we'll be getting into it with Kibui and Yom Tov L'Tzarich Kachol Nefesh.
Yes.
Are you allowed to put meat back into the oven to reheat it and put it right on the Gecholim then?
Well, according to the first argument, no.
Because it wouldn't be any different than Chardel.
Correct.
You could eat like this, you could eat your meat cold too.
Right. Then he says, the second argument was really that theoretically, to make it be mematik, it theoretically should be mutter also, but even though there's kibri involved. But I have another valid option of using mateches, and who roy umotzi yosu. That was the more common way of doing it. So why am I going to permit you to do kibri with a kechelah shel eitz when you should be doing it with a kechelah shel mateches, which A is not really mechabit, and B it's not a shepecho. So that has relevance, just in your filament. That's just just picking up that thread, if you excuse the pun. When you turn on a bulb on Shabbos, so that's melacha d'oraisa. because we paskin taking a piece of metal and making it red hot is havara. It's making a fire. But turning it off is melacha shenisik lagufa, because you're not making any pecha. So turning off a light on Shabbos is only the rabbana, like most the Shulchan Aruch pesachim. The Rambam passes the melacha lagufa is chayiv, but almost everybody else argues on the Rambam. So according to everybody else, it's only the rabbana. So
if you accidentally turn off the light on Shabbos, better make sure not to turn it back on. Accidentally.
Well, that's for sure. Not you shouldn't do, because that's like so the two of errors. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, the guy eats. You know, the Gemara says you ate garlic, so you say go to eat more garlic. You know, like it's something slightly worse.
Could you get a kid under a certain age to do it? No,
that's very problematic.
That's okay.
The question then, if it's the rabbanim, do you say shus to shus makom hefset or shus to shus makom? You know. If I want to have the guy put it out, can I say shus shus mukam hefset? So the chara and the chara has a gadol. The biggest hefset of the chara is when a person has his house burning down. The chara, it's a pretty big hefset. Mm-hmm. So why don't you say over there that it's fair shadin? You can't have the guy put out the fire. There's no danger to life. You can't have the boy put out the fire. It's shus shus mukam hefset. So why isn't that mutter? So the Ron asked the kasha. So the Ron says a teretz because it's a melacha enetzir leguva, which that's enetzir leguva is the most chomer that could because it's better than the exact same thing as the derisa. Just it's a question of what your intent is, right? So the head of shus shus mokum hefset doesn't apply to melacha enetzir leguva. So the question is that only by the case of the house which it shall eats, which theoretically I could have intent to use charcoal, turns out I don't want to, but theoretically it's something which could be b'tzricha l'gufa. Something which is intrinsically not tzricha l'gufa is, do you have the heter shus shus? So it's mechalkes poskim. So I remember I had once had a young man, I remember the days when a car battery cost, like, let's time stop here.